وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب، بارك الله فيك. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى shower his choicest blessings and rahmah on you. آمين. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, regarding the Jews' arrival in Medina, we will be discussing this particular topic this morning. Historians write that when the disbeliever, the kafir tyrant, Bukhti Nasr, attacked Baytul Muqaddas, he banished the Jews from there. So many immigrated to Hijaz, Wadi Qura, Tayma, and Medina Munawwara. At that time, there were some people of the Bani Jurhum residing there, along with some descendants of the Amaliqa tribe who planted and harvested dates. So the Jews gradually grew in number until they outnumbered the others. So they expelled the others from Medina Munawwara, thereby seizing possession of the city. They resided there for as long as Allah willed. So certain historians have mentioned that the Jews had read in the Torah that the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appear in a city where dates flourish and which is bordered by two rocky deserts. Therefore, they set out from Baitul Muqaddas to search for this place so that they could receive him and follow him. When they recognized Medina Munawwara to be the place, they settled there. Now the Aus and the Khazraj tribes arrive in Medina Munawwara, and the original name of Medina was Yathrib. After the Hijrah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the name to Medina Tur Rasul, Tayyiba and Taba. It is now famously called Medina or Madinatul Munawwara. After the Jews had been living in Medina Munawwara for a long while, two tribes from Yemen settled there. These were the Aus and the Khazraj. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, the following tribes lived there: the Jews. So among the Jews there was the Banu Nazir, the Banu Qurayza, and the Banu Qaynuka. And then the Yemenis, the Aus and the Khazraj, who were later known as the Ansar. So the two Yemeni tribes were idol worshippers and were constantly fighting each other and the Jews. So the Jews were regarded as the people of the book, Ahl Kitab. And they used to tell the others that they are awaiting the advent of the final prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom they would follow and then crush their enemies. Now, regarding the Aus and Khazraj, how they accepted Islam. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met the first group of pilgrims from amongst the Aus and Khazraj, he invited them to Islam. They realized that he was the same person about whom the Jews boasted that they would follow him to vanquish their enemies. Therefore, before the Jews could follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they decided to accept Islam. When they returned to Medina Munawwara, they propagated the message of Islam. 12 representatives from amongst them met the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the following year to pledge their allegiance to him. They also invited the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to migrate to Medina Munawwara. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's migration and hijrah to Medina Munawwara. After receiving the invitation, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu for Medina Munawwara. The books of history mention the incidents of the various companions radiallahu anhum who had already left for Medina Munawwara before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite possessing the knowledge that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true prophet of Allah, about whom they had read in their scriptures, the Jews refused to accept him as such. They even refused to respond to the words of the Aus and the Khazraj when these two tribes reminded them that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the same prophet about whom the Jews had threatened others. So because of their jealousy and enmity, the Jews did not respond to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's preaching. Only a few of them accepted Islam, while the others always plotted against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, the Jews wanted the final prophet to be from amongst the Bani Israel, but to their surprise, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was from the progeny of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and it was of Arab origin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Israel, azkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum, wa awfu bi'ahdi, awfi bi'ahdikum, wa iyaya farhabun. O Bani Israel, call to mind Allah's favor which He conferred upon you. Fulfill my pledge, and I will fulfill yours. Fear me only. So the Bani Israel are reminded of Allah's favors on them. In addressing the Bani Israel, Allah addresses the Jews since they were the progeny of Sayyidina Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam. During the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they lived in Medina Munawwara, Khaybar and Sham. After arriving in Medina Munawwara, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam encountered the Jews who were not to be found in Makkah Mukarramah. Therefore, the Quran begins to address them. So Allah Ta'ala says in above verse, O Bani Israel, call to mind Allah's favor, which He conferred upon you. Fulfill my pledge, and I will fulfill yours. Fear me only. So the Bani Israel knew what bounties Allah had conferred on them and their forefathers. The verses wherein Allah speaks about these favors prove that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's prophet, because he could not have learned these from any person, nor read it because he was unlettered. He could have learned about this only from Allah. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعْكُمْ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. Believe in what I have revealed in confirmation of what you have with you, and do not become the first disbelievers. Do not barter Allah's verses for a measly price. Fear me only. Now the Bani Israel are invited to accept Islam, and Allah Ta'ala addresses the Jews further by saying, believe in what I have revealed, that is the Quran, in confirmation of what you have with you, that is the Torah. And the Quran Majid is a confirmation of the Old Testament, the Torah, and the New Testament, the Bible. So although the Torah and Injil that the Jews and Christians possessed during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were already adulterated, they still contained some true descriptions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Araf, verse 157, those who follow the unlettered messenger and prophet that they find written, mentioned with them in the Torah and Injil. So since the Jews had knowledge of the fact that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to be the final prophet on earth, and they had waited for him in Medina Munawwara for such a long time, it was necessary that they be the first to believe in him. So the Christians learned about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam much later, while the polytheists of Makkah were totally unaware of his imminent appearance. The polytheists, the mushrikeen, they followed no book at all. So the Jews were therefore the best equipped with knowledge to realize that they had no reason to reject the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes them, and Allah ta'ala says, and do not become the first disbelievers. Since the Jews were the first to learn about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their scriptures, they were actually the first to receive the message to follow him. Therefore, their rejection will be regarded as the final disbelief, even before the disbelief of the polytheists in Makkah Mukarramah. Other commentators have interpreted the verse to mean that the Jews should not become the first disbelievers from amongst the Ahlul Kitab, including Jews and Christians of Medina Munawwara. So do not barter Allah's verses for a measly price. Certain commentators have interpreted this verse to mean that they should believe in Allah's verses and all his messengers, alayhi salam, including the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They must not refrain from accepting Islam merely for fear of losing some material wealth. Other commentators have interpreted the verse to mean that they should not adulterate their scriptures and should not conceal the truth. They used to do this often when others bribed them to do so. So fear me only, Allah Ta'ala says. Fear of Allah is the most effective means whereby people can refrain from sin. The command to fear Allah is repeated in this verse due to its importance. So Allama Baydawi Rahmatullah Alayhi writes that the first verse addresses the general public to adopt the meanings, the means to piety, Allah's fear, whereas the second verse 41 applies specifically to the learned scholars because they are required to reach the pinnacles of piety and taqwa, which is denoted by the word fattaqun. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not confuse the truth with falsehood and knowingly conceal the truth. The truth must not be concealed and mixed with falsehood. This is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse addresses the Jewish scholars, telling them not to confuse the truth with falsehood by inserting their own additions to the divine scriptures. It was their practice not to teach the Torah to the masses, and they preserved the Torah in scattered leaves, making reference difficult. Whenever anyone would seek a ruling from them, they would extract any leaf and tell the person exactly what he wanted to hear, provided the person paid for it. So they parted their deen. It was also their practice to conceal the description of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the masses. It is for these reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions them, do not confuse the truth with falsehood and knowingly conceal the truth. They perpetrated these acts even though they realized that they were sinning. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, the established salah, pay zakah, and bow in ruku with those who bow. Now the meaning of establishing salat has already been discussed earlier in Surah Baqarah. Many verses mention salah and zakah together, since they denote physical and financial acts of devotion. Salah inspires a person to turn to Allah and instills humility in him. Zakah eradicates miserliness and other evils associated with wealth. There are numerous other benefits attached to these two acts of worship, which the scholars, the ulama, have elucidated in many books. Allah also commands the Bani Israel to bow in ruku, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, with those who bow. This means that they should be particular about performing salah in congregation. One of the greatest virtues of salah in congregation is that the reward for such a salah is multiplied 27 times. Although salah and zakah are obligatory for all Muslims, the Jews are specifically commanded with these because these two acts of devotion are especially effective in eradicating the maladies of love of position, hubbijah, and the love of wealth, hubbimal, both of which were widespread amongst the Jews. Other commentators have mentioned that the prayer of the Jews did not include ruku, the bowing posture. Allah therefore impresses upon them to adopt the prayer of the Muslims, meaning that they should become Muslims. The ulama have deduced from this verse that it is wajib and compulsory to perform salah in congregation. Even those who say that it is sunnah, deeds practiced by Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have emphasized its importance. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reported the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by the being in whose control is my life. I desire to instruct that fire would be gathered. Thereafter, I would instruct that the call or prayer adhan be given so that the salah may commence. I will then appoint an imam to lead the salah and personally set fire to the homes of those who do not attend the salah in congregation. I mean, this hadith in Bukhari Sharif, what a stern warning, you know, for us who disregard the importance of jama'at. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, if there were no women and children at home, I would lead the Isha salah and order the youth to set fire to the homes of those who do not attend the salah with congregation. This is in Mishkat Sharif. Once after completing the Fajr salah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired from the companions, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, whether a certain person was present. When the companions, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, replied in the negative, he asked about a second person. When it was mentioned that he too was absent, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Fajr and Isha salahs are most difficult for the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. He then added, if you knew the reward for these two salahs, you would come to the masjid even if you had to crawl. Indeed, the first row is the row of the angels. If you knew the reward of standing in this row, you would race to stand in it. Undoubtedly, the salah of two persons performing salah together is better than performing individually. Performing salah collectively with two persons is better than performing salah collectively with just one person. Allah likes the congregation of more people proportionately more. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mahud radiallahu ta'ala said, I have certainly witnessed the time when only the open hypocrite was miss salah in congregation or an ill person. Even the ill would present themselves with the aid of two persons. Indeed, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us many ways of guidance, and amongst these is to perform salah in the masjid where the adhan is given. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Shaitan will certainly assume control of any three men in a forest or town where they do not perform salah in congregation. So be particular about performing salah in congregation, because a wolf devours the lone sheep. This is Mishkat Sharif. What an emphasis on salah with jama'at. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.